Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I am your host, Andrew Rich, and today I'm joined by another first-time guest. It's Paul Wedding. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you here. Nice to have a fellow media man on the show, actually, because I know you work at a news station in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I work at a radio news station in the Boston area, so we're kind of, you know, brothers in arms in that sense there, Paul.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, lots of media members in the Voices of Wrestling network, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And I know just the stuff you've posted in the Discord from your work, you've gotten a couple times to combine your work with wrestling. I know a few months ago, you interviewed Athena for one of the ROH shows, mm-hmm. and then you also interviewed Darby Allin because of the All-In show in Arlington next year, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I when I'm not dealing with, city council or local matters such as that, I occasionally get to cover wrestling, which is really cool. And I've got another interview coming up in, well, it might be out by the time this is out there. So, yeah, I've gotten to talk to a fair amount of wrestlers and do some sort of historical research and things like that. So yeah, it's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody out there wants to know what the back of Paul's head looks like, watch the Darby video, cause we never see your face in that one. So,
well, if you see, I did an interview with Chris Jericho last year and you can see me, in that. So if you look up WFA Chris Jericho and you can find it.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Well, today's episode here, Paul, this is actually our third C episode in a row. First, we had Canadian Destroyers, and then we had Curtain Jerkers, and now it's a double C. It's Creative Control. And just to clarify, we're not doing an episode about the Harris Brothers in WCW. We're not doing that, I promise. No, in this case, it's the general term, which is when a wrestler, typically a big star, gets to have a say in what their character does on the show, what their storylines are going to be, who they wrestle, things like that. And if you've ever seen the phrase, "That's not going to work for me, brother," there you go. That's creative control right there. And that line has become, you know, a meme in recent years, I know, but it's still a thing. You know, you hear about like Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman having a big say in the Bloodline story, or, you know, top guys in AEW getting a lot of rope to book their own stuff, for better or worse. And, you know, in a business like wrestling that is just so, you know, ego-driven and people getting so paranoid about losing their spot or looking weak, you can see why creative control is so, you know, sought after for a lot of people, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah, you could have just titled this episode Section 11, Subparagraph E.
Trying to roll me up, dude? What's going on there?
Brother.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's in all of entertainment too, really, not just pro wrestling.
Sure.
There's the famous story of how in the Fast and Furious movies, I think it's Vin Diesel, The Rock, and Jason Statham can't lose their fights, and they can't take too many punches because it's in their contracts. Like, contractually, they can't lose and they can't look weak. And you hear that and you think, that's so ridiculous. But again, it's about, you know, massaging egos and protecting your spot and protecting your star power. And boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it there, Paul, I think?
given
our fandoms, yeah. Yeah. Now, for this episode here, I was trying to think of a music topic that would fit this one. And what I came up with was singer-songwriters, because they write their own songs, they sing their own songs, they play their own songs, and sometimes produce their own songs. You know, they're the ones who are controlling the creative, so to speak, and they're coming up with the music themselves. And yeah, there are record companies, and there's A&R guys in there too, who have a hand at things sometimes, but I'm going to use my creative control here, Paul, and just ignore all that stuff and focus on the singer-songwriter. Maybe a co-writer too, of course, but this will just make things nice and easy there, Paul, for sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, we have 10 picks each and a play-out song at the end as well. Paul, you are the guest. You'll lead us off here. What's your first pick?
Yeah, so my first pick, it's a song by a band known as the Mountain Goats. They're my favorite band, and it's a wrestling podcast, and so I figured it'd be fitting for one of the songs, at least, to be wrestling-related. This was from an album by them called Beating the Champ, which is a whole album of songs about pro wrestling. And it's funny, this was my favorite band for years before they came out with this album, so it's just totally, like, serendipity that they happened. John Darnielle, the lead singer and songwriter for the band, just happened to be a wrestling fan growing up. And so I thought it'd be fitting to pick a wrestling related song for this, and this was the first one that popped into my mind. This is Southwestern Territory.
Small screen July evening view. Up and down Grand Avenue, where the legends get made. Out with the Boys Brigade, part of the motorcade. Flew home from Texas last night, slept on the flight. Work like a dog all day. Born to chase cars away. Die on the road someday. I try to.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, this is one of the best songs in terms of just like describing the life of a wrestler, something like that. Even, you know, I think this is, you know, this song's kind of telling the story of a wrestler back in like maybe the 70s, 80s, but it's just, a lot of it's still relevant, I think, just in terms of like describing like the loneliness of a wrestler, like the constant travel. You know, he talks later in that song about he tries to write in the diary that his son gave him because he never sees his son. There's that great line we just heard. He talks about, you know, work like a dog all day, born to chase cars away, die on the road someday. And I feel like that's just a great description of pro wrestlers. Just these, you know, they're very different. These outcasts, and they're gonna go on TV and get their asses kicked and bleed, and they're gonna get their payday, and then they're gonna wake up early next morning and get on the road to the next town and do the same thing. And it's just, yeah, it just really resonated with me for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a real no-brainer pick for this show and this network, of course. Like, I'm annoyed I didn't go with it, really. and I'm not that well-versed on the Mountain Goats, but I do know this album, and it's a pretty great album. And it's not, like, you know, a novelty, wacky, let's have some fun with wrestling, guys. Like, he's a big wrestling fan, but, you know, yeah, he's using wrestling as his allegory, really, in a lot of ways for personal heavy stories. And this song about you know, being on the road and making towns and you're tired and you're hurt, and you miss your family. That obviously applies to a wrestler, but it also applies to a musician as well. You know,
sure.
Performing and touring is a tough life for anyone. So I think that Slung plays, you know, really well into it, for sure, Paul.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my first pick here, this is also by a guy named Paul, Sir Paul, to be exact, Paul McCartney. And this is from one of his albums in the 90s, 1993, an album called Off the Ground. And this is a song called Hope of Deliverance.
I will always be understand someday, one day you will understand. Always, always from now until then, when it will be right, I don't know what it will be like. I don't know. We live in hope of deliverance from the darkness that surrounds us.
So yeah, I've always been a Paul guy, both Wedding and McCartney. as someone who loves a good pun and a good bad joke, I relate to his cheesiness a lot. But he also just writes these lovely songs like this one. This is a lesser known single of his, but I think it's still damn good. It has that that Latin style to it, of course, very uplifting and optimistic as Paul tends to be. And optimism is in short supply these days, I think. But I listen to a lot of Paul stuff, and it picks me up a lot there, Paul. So yeah, I'm a big McCartney fan for sure.
Yeah, I'm not quite as well versed in Paul McCartney's solo work. I like a lot of the Beatles stuff, but yeah, I listened to this for the first time today, and it's a really nice, lovely little song. Kind of, it's in the same vein as a lot of. What I assume was Paul's work on the Beatles, just a lot of very light, fun, pick-me-up kind of love songs, feel-good songs, things like that. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've said this before on the show, but my first concert ever was Paul McCartney at Fenway Park.
Oh, amazing.
And at the time, this was like 2016 or whatever, he was in his mid-70s, and he played for like 3 hours straight, no breaks. It was an amazing show. And going in, you're excited because, yeah, you're seeing Paul McCartney, but you don't fully realize the magnitude of that, I think, until he comes out and the first song is A Hard Day's Night. And literally everyone in Fenway Park is singing that song. It's an incredible experience. So for as long as we still got Paul McCartney, if he's coming to your town, you know, go see him, I think. You should just go see him at least once. So, yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. What's your next pick there, Paul?
Okay, so for my next pick, I'm going with a song by Bruce Springsteen. And this is possibly my favorite song of all time. It's right up there. It's, you know, so, I mean, after Mountain Goats, this is the one that sprung up to my mind next. And it's just, you know, Bruce is great at telling a story in a song. And to me, this is like one of the best stories that he's told. And so this song is Atlantic City.
Well, I got a job and tried to put my money away, but I got debts that no honest man can pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that close city bus. Maybe everything dies, maybe that's a bet. Come on,
Yeah, so Springsteen, you know, so many of his songs to me are almost like movies. They're just, he just puts you right in there into this great, just enrapturing story. And this is one of his best. And I think this has one of the best openings where he says, well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night. And they couldn't stop at that. They also had to blow up his house. I think it's based on a true story, but it's a great way to get you right into that story and just tells you about this guy, just down on his luck, in a relationship that doesn't sound like it's going great, but, you know, he meets this guy who thinks he might be able to get him some help, but it doesn't sound like it's going to work out too well for him. And so it just tells this amazing, just heartbreaking story of so many guys who deal with issues like this, especially when around the time that Springsteen wrote this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be, like, I think, a recurring theme of this episode is we're picking some very big names, obviously, but we're going with not really deep cuts, more like less obvious songs, I think. Because when I think of Bruce Springsteen, what comes to mind first is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, you know, the energy, the rock and roll, Born to Run,
sure,
Glory Days, all that stuff. And this song and this album, Nebraska, is not that. Like, it's literally just Bruce by himself doing a bunch of demos, and that's the album. And that's a real risk to do that. But it all worked out in the end, I think, because it's gotten a lot of praise over the years. But still, this is a real outlier of an album sandwiched in between The River, which is a double album, and Born in the USA, which is his biggest album ever. But it's still Bruce Springsteen. Like, it still sounds like a Bruce Springsteen album. It's still quintessentially him. It's just a side of him without the other side, which is the band, really.
Right. It's still a portrait of, you know, the struggling working class man. And you're right. I think this was actually recorded in his kitchen. And it's such a notorious album. It's one of my favorites by his, of course, but I think they're actually even making a movie about the making of Nebraska.
They are, yeah. It's going to be Jeremy Allen White from The Bear playing Springsteen. So, Yes Chef will become Yes Boss, I guess. So, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. All right, my next pick here, we are going to go with an artist that I did an episode about with Mora for the old show format last year. It's one of my favorite artists. It's Peter Gabriel. And I went with a song off of his most recent album, I.O., came out last year. And this is a beautiful song. It's called Love Can Heal. And this is the Bright Side mix of that song.
Whatever mess you find yourself within, regardless how you got there, when the edifice has slipped away and died, left you standing there defenseless.
I said, you know, beautiful song, really subdued, minimal, soft, but also very comforting. It feels like a nice hug, I guess, around you when you're listening to it. And I saw him live last year, and he played this, and on stage there was this like transparent screen that he stood behind, and he had this stick or this wand or something, and when he would wave the wand around, and colors would like float out of the wand onto the screen. It was stunning to watch. And it just kind of shows you how much of an artist he is in more ways than one. But yeah, I'm a huge, huge Peter Gabriel fan. And he's been someone who's been consistently great, too. I mean, this album it took 20 years to come out, but it's amazing. I listened to it, you know, quite a lot. So, yeah, big fan of his, Paul.
Yeah, I'm a huge Peter Gabriel fan also. Definitely the best member of Genesis. And I hadn't heard this. I haven't heard his newest album yet. I'm going to have to change that because, yeah, I also thought this was a beautiful song. Just, yeah, just it's. There's just this warmth to it. It's like you feel like just it's like angelic in its quality, the way the, especially with the singers who sing the chorus there, the title track line, and just, yeah, amazing production, along with his great songwriting. So, yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. And I think as well, it's proof of how, varied his sound has been over the years. He's never really been a guy to stay in one lane, because whether it's, you know, Genesis, early solo, late solo stuff, his world music stuff, of course, it's all quite different. You know, compare this to Sledgehammer or Big Time or Salisbury Hill or Biko. It's like night and day, really. But again, it's all consistently great. Like, he rarely has a misfire, for sure. But okay, Paul, what's your next pick for us?
Okay, so my next pick... I have what I consider to be like the holy trinity of songwriters, and those three for me, it's Bruce Springsteen, and it's Bob Dylan, who I love, but I couldn't make the space for on this list. There are other people I wanted to highlight, but it's Springsteen, Dylan, and Joni Mitchell. And this was actually the first Joni Mitchell song I ever heard. It was actually, I actually heard a cover of this song at a concert, and then I had to look it up later because I loved it so much. But this is Joni Mitchell's Car on a Hill. Yeah, so Joni Mitchell, I mean, her voice, the way it just glides up and down the scales just effortlessly, it's beautiful, and I love the, you know, the sax, the whole song just sounds cool, and I love, you know, it's just, to me, it's a very relatable story, and it's so simple. It's just about waiting for a car, and, you know, I think we've all been there before, just with someone we're interested in, whether it's waiting for a car, or waiting for a text, or a phone call, or whatever. And just capturing that feeling, I think she does an awesome job.
Yeah, I played Joni a few episodes ago on the Canadian Destroyers episode, and I sung her praises then. I'll do it again now, because, yeah, she can write a tune. And apparently this is about her relationship with another singer-songwriter, Jackson Brown. And I guess he didn't really treat her all that well, and he cheated on her, and she's very depressed about it. But she's still waiting for that car on the hill. So yeah, a very sad and beautiful song on what is her most acclaimed album ever, I believe, Court and Spark.
It's my favorite. I have it on vinyl. I think the whole album is perfect.
Yeah, this is like you go on the Wikipedia page and it's like, you know, Okada Omega, just 5 stars across the board, you know, for everybody. So yeah, good pick for sure. Yeah.
And this is not the only Jackson Brown associate we'll be listening to on this show.
I don't believe it is. No. So, okay, for my next pick here, this is someone from your neck of the woods there, Paul.
Yeah.
Dallas, Texas. Shoot name, Annie Clark. Gimmick name, Saint Vincent. And she actually played on a Mountain Goats album. How about that? So it all ties together there. This is from 2018. This is a non-album single. It's actually a reworking of a song she did called Slow Disco. And this is called Fast Slow Disco.
It's blood in my ears. I'm a fool in the mirror. And the play of mistakes couldn't get any clearer.
That's one of my favorite songs of hers. I love that light, pulsing dance beat and her voice and the layered vocals, that sense of love, but also longing. Just a wonderful song. And she's another one who is really constantly changing up her sound and her look, because she's done everything from like Baroque pop, chamber pop, art rock, funk, industrial pop, electronica, whole bunch of stuff. And I think given one of her big influences is David Bowie, that variety lines up there, Paul. I think so. Yeah.
I actually think this might be the first St. Vincent song I've ever listened to.
Oh.
At least that I'm aware of. I may have heard it before unknowingly, which I definitely should listen to her more, just because I know she's from Dallas, and I love this song. Yeah, it was like a feeling of catharsis listening to this. I loved her lyrics, especially that line, "I'm so glad I came, but I can't wait to leave." That's very relatable. And I love that closing line, don't it be a slow dance to death.
That's a great line,
It's like chill-inducing to listen to that. I love the close out. I'd love to hear this live, because, yeah, I bet it's amazing to hear in a crowd.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, if you're going to watch the music video for this song, don't do it at work, because the video is St. Vincent dancing in a gay nightclub surrounded by a sea of bear and leather daddies, which turns into just essentially an orgy for like a good minute. Just a sea of dudes just clumped together with her on top. It's very very eye-catching for sure there, Paul. So yeah, avoid that one at work. My advice. So yeah.
Will do.
Okay. All right, what do you got next for us there, Paul?
Okay, so next up I'm going to bring up one of my favorite country artists and one of my favorite songwriters in general, John Prine, who unfortunately passed about 4 years ago. And this was one of the hardest hits from COVID for me, was John Prine, because I'd only known him for about a year, and I'd just fallen in love with a lot of his music. And particularly this song just tells a great story, and it's one I always go back to. It's called Lake Marie.
Many years later, I found myself talking to this girl who was standing there with her back turned to Lake Marie. The wind was blowing, especially through her hair. There was 4 Italian sausages cooking on the outdoor grill, and they was sizzling. Many years later, we found ourselves in Canada trying to save our marriage and perhaps catch a few fish. Whatever came first. That night she fell asleep in my arms, humming the tune to Louie Louie. Oh, baby, we gotta go now. We were standing by peaceful waters, standing by the
peaceful waters.
So just the way he sets the scene there, I mean, it feels like you're right there on the lake and you can see him and this girl. And I love, that's one of my favorite lines in the song. It's so simple, but it's just beautiful. I think the wind was blowing, especially through her hair, and you can see them talking, you can see the grill. And it's just a very, vivid. And I love that line that comes up too. Trying to save our marriage and perhaps catch a few fish, whatever came first. It's so funny and sweet, and it's this great contrast because, you know, in the closing part of the song, it talks about this grisly murder. When he has another one of my favorite lines in the song where he says, "You know what blood looks like in a black and white video? Shadows." So yeah, this is just one I always go back to. It never fails to get me a little emotional. Just a beautifully written song.
I was going to say, you tricked me, Paul, because up until now, you've picked some pretty sad, depressing, dark songs. And then I listened to this and I thought, oh, what a lovely country folk song about a lake and a married couple standing by peaceful water. Oh, how nice. And then in verse 3, yeah, bam, two horribly disfigured murder victims. Which I looked it up. Apparently, it was inspired by John Wayne Gacy.
Yes.
So I have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. How could you, Paul? How could you?
Yeah, I've just tend to have a taste on the darker side, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, yeah, amazing song. I've never really had a chance to dig into John Prine because mm-hmm. I'm not like a big country guy.
Sure.
I'll admit I had never even heard of him until the pandemic because you mentioned it. Yeah, he's one of the first big names to die from COVID. Mm-hmm. But the two or three songs that I have heard since then, I really enjoyed. So I want to listen to more of him because, you know, murders or not, this is a great song, Paul, for sure. So
absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. So, okay. So my next pick here, we're going over to Motown. And we're going to pay a visit to a fellow named Marvin Gaye. And this is from his big album from 73, What's Going On? And this is a song called Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Mercy. All things and what they used to be lost. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night.
So I don't think I need to really extol the greatness of Marvin Gaye or this song or this album. It's been praised enough, Lord knows, but I picked it because I think he's a good example of a guy who gradually turned into a singer-songwriter. Because he started out doing standards and covers and show tunes. He wrote a little bit of songs, but not much. But then he does this album, which he writes or co-writes all the songs himself. He also produces it. And it's an instant classic. Like, it's further proof, I think, that, you know, there's no real blueprint to being a singer-songwriter. There are many different roads to, you know, to get you to that moniker, I think, there, Paul.
For sure. And I definitely love this album, too. It's one of my favorites. Definitely my favorite album by him. This is just a great song. What I think is just, the production's beautiful, just very, you know, kind of easygoing, but then it's kind of juxtaposed by some of the lyrics are kind of dark, actually, and it's mm-hmm. even, and what's sad is a lot of the content of the song is still just as relevant, if not more, to today.
Yeah, it's a very ambitious concept for your first go around, because it's not like a collection of pop hits. You know, it's a concept album about a Vietnam vet coming home from the war and being disillusioned about what America and the world has become. It's real heavy duty stuff, and the songs also flow into each other, so it's very ambitious, but it all worked out considering, yeah, this is near like the top of every single best album ever list out there. So, you know, ambition paid off in this case there, Paul, definitely.
For sure.
All right, what you got next for us?
Okay, so next up, I've got a song by the band Silver Jews, which was the band for singer-songwriter David Berman, who unfortunately killed himself 4 or 5 years ago. And that was right around when I found him, because so many people were extolling his talents. And I listened to a few of his albums, just kind of fell in love with them. And for this show, I felt it appropriate that I pick this song, because it's the namesake of my home city. This is Dallas.
I passed out on the 14th floor. Was so erotic. A blizzard blew in through the door, and little glowing cum buckets in her ankles. Oh, Dallas, you shine with the evil light. Dallas, you shine with an evil light. How'd you turn a billion steers into buildings made of mirrors? Why am I drawn to you tonight? Won't you taste a geometry?
Yeah, so for a few years, I lived in downtown Dallas. I still live in Dallas now, but more on the closer to the outskirts. I lived on a 20th floor apartment on Commerce Street, right in the middle of all the action. And just you know, listening to this song on my balcony, it's a real experience. I think he really gets Dallas, and he's got some really weird lyrics, talking about little glowing cum buckets in her ankles. I'm still not entirely sure what that means. But then, you know, there's some profundity there when he's talking about, oh, Dallas, you shine with an evil light. Don't you know that God stays up all night? And talking about turning a billion steers into a building made of mirrors. Just talking about how this Texas town, a once big cattle town, turned into this kind of huge corporate, you know, money-driven city. And despite this kind of this darkness to the town, there still is this draw and this beauty. Like, he closes out saying some kind of strange magic happens when the city turns on our lights. And, you know, I can really relate to that.
Yeah. I saw the title of this and I thought, gee, I wonder why he picked this one. yeah, you know, I'm not really big on the whole lo-fi indie rock sound, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Really, the name of the band was more interesting to me than the actual song. Because, yeah, it's one of those cases like the Mountain Goats where it's a band, but there's one guy at the center of it who's singing the songs and writing the songs and all that stuff.
Exactly.
So, I think if you're going to pick a band name to go under, Silver Jews is a real attention grabber. That's for sure. And, yeah, the guy, David Berman, he was Jewish. And I guess he had a real rough go of things, pretty, you know, messed up. A lot of it had to do with his dad, I read, Richard Berman, who was a famous lawyer, PR guy. Yes. Big shocker, not the best guy around, no. And they had a falling out, and I think eventually David just gave up on Silver Jews and became a recluse for many years, and There was depression and drug use and rehab and all those typical trademarks, and then eventually, yeah, he killed himself. You know, just one of those guys who I never heard of, but now I do, and sadly he's not with us. So, yeah, there you go. All right, well, my next pick here, this is from 2009, And this is a singer, a songwriter, actor extraordinaire, a guy named Chris Isaak. And this is off of an album called Mr. Lucky. And this is a song called We Let Her Down.
I told her I'd be there. It's easy to say what you wanna believe. I told her I'd love her. Now that it's too late, I see.
So it's my turn to play a super depressing song, Paul. The tables have turned, my friend. Yeah, it's about a girl whose parents don't love her enough, her boyfriend isn't there for her, and eventually she kills herself. So a real happy tune there, but I love it. It's a great song. Chris Isaac's voice is majestic in there, the background vocals as well. I love the little guitar riff in there too. So yeah, a really, really great, sad song. And Chris Isaak, he's got a track record of that, because Wicked Game, you know, is a sad song. Somebody's Crying as well. He's very Roy Orbison-esque, I think, in terms of voice and mood in that regard. Chris Isaak, that's Isaak, for those of you who have not looked him up yet, so...
Yeah, I was going to say this. I needed a minute after this song, man. That really, really punched me in the gut with this
one. And that's saying something with you played so far.
Sure.
So.
This is, I guess, this is the second Chris Isaak song I've ever heard, but I love Wicked Game, as you mentioned, from Wild at Heart by David Lynch. This amazing scene where they're driving through the desert and this, well, it's an instrumental version of the song that's playing, but. Yeah, I love that song, and like you said, I love his voice. It's just so, yeah, Roy Orbison-esque, it's just very powerful, it's just great, just kind of bass. And it's just, yeah, it's just a beautiful kind of heartbreaking song, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to a little bit more David Lynch later on, hint, hint. But this is the song that actually introduced me to Chris Isaak, because I was working at a supermarket in high school at Stop and Shop, and... this is one of the songs that played over the PA system. And, you know, between the guitar riff and the sound of his voice, it just, it grabbed me. I didn't realize until much later that it was super depressing, but still, it grabbed me. And, you know, I've never been like a rockabilly guy, but I've always liked what he's done with that sound and that voice of his over the years there, Paul. So, yeah. All right. What's next for us there, Paul?
All right. So, this next song I got is by... someone who I consider one of the best singer-songwriters going today. I first heard her on I heard this song on an NPR station. It's the first thing I'd heard by her. And I just, you know, I had to like Shazam it immediately so I could figure it out and I could find, the rest of her stuff. And it's, you know, I love pretty much everything I've heard about her, heard from her. This is The Barrel by Aldous Harding.
Look at all the peaches. How do you celebrate? We can't appear inside of nowhere. It's already day. I know you have the dove. I'm not getting wet. Looks like a date is set. Show the ferret to the egg. I'm not getting let alone. Rushed in to hold down your page. And with me. Now you hear a song from inside the maze, the very one you made.
Yeah, so I think she's almost like Dylan-esque in just her songwriting. It's almost, you know, it's almost kind of nonsensical at some points, talking about you know, show the ferret to the egg, look at all the peaches. But that's what draws me to it. I find it so interesting, and she manages to slip in these really meaningful lyrics in between there, talking about like one of my favorites in this particular song is, when you have a child, so begins the braiding, and in that braid you stay. And just it's a song I go back to again and again, and just try to figure out more about what she's saying here. And so for that, I love this song and a lot of her music.
Yeah, you don't really run into the name Aldous these days all that much. It's a very unique choice of stage name. But that makes sense, I think, because this is, yeah, a really odd song. Because your voice is just so delicate, and the pronunciation of certain words is kind of weird. And yeah, lines like, show the ferret to the egg, look at all the peaches, I want to celebrate. Like, what the hell's going on here? But still, it's very pretty and entrancing. So, you know, do I know what the song is about? Hell no. Do I enjoy it? I certainly do. It's a good pick there, Paul, for sure.
Yeah, I've seen her live. She's a great performance. And as weird as her songs are, you should look up her performing on YouTube, because she makes some of the weirdest phases you'll ever see trying to hit some of these notes in the songs. But yeah.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I did look up the music video for this one.
Oh, yeah.
That's also super weird. She's dressed like a pilgrim, mm-hmm, with like a super tall sun hat, and she's wearing these really high white platform boots and doing this weird little dance. It's so bizarre, but it also feels right. Like, this makes sense how strange it all is, really. So it all lines up there for sure, Paul. So,
yep.
Yeah. Okay, my next pick here, going back to Motown with this one, and this is another classic, iconic singer-songwriter, Stevie Wonder. And this is from his golden era of the 70s, early 70s here, from Inner Visions, 1973. And this is one of his best-known songs, Higher Ground. Keep on turning, because it won't be too long. True words have never been spoken, I don't think, in that sense. Yeah, this is one of Stevie's more, you know, serious songs, but it's hard not to smile and groove along to it, because you hear the wah-wah there in that groove. You can't help it. And I had actually heard the Chili Peppers version of this song first, and that's a great cover. But, you know, when the original is 1970s Stevie Wonder, it's hard to measure up. And what always stuns me about this song is that he wrote it, he recorded it, he produced it in 3 hours all by himself. Like, he plays every instrument on this song. because that's Stevie Wonder. That's just what he does. He's a child prodigy. He's a one-man band, and, you know, he's one of our best, ever, really, there, Paul, so.
Yeah, I didn't know that he produces in 3 hours. Yeah, that is really amazing. It's a really cool-sounded song. It's, like, motivating. I don't know. It'd be, like, a great song to just, like, listen to while you're driving. I love the feel of it, the sound. It's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually a pretty famous story to go along with it, too, because the album came out 3 days before Stevie got into a really bad car accident, and he fell into a coma. And it was pretty bad. He almost died. And the story goes, his friend visits him in the hospital, and to get a response out of him, he starts singing Higher Ground into Stevie's ear. And eventually, Stevie starts moving his fingers in time with the song. And they're like, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. So, and the fact that it's Higher Ground, a song that's meant to be spiritual and about having a second chance at life and living well, I think that adds to the story immensely there, Paul. So, yeah. But, all right. What you got next for us, Paul? What's the next pick?
Okay. So, for my next pick, I'm picking another Texas artist. This is the son of author Larry McMurtry, known for Lonesome Dove. This is his son, James McMurtry. And this is another song I had to pick because it's basically about my stomping grounds. It's a song about the North Texas, Southern Oklahoma crystal methamphetamine industry. It's called Choctaw Bingo.
Uncle Slayton's got his Texan pride back in the thickets with Asian bride. He's got an Airstream trailer and a Holstein cow. Still makes whiskey cause he still knows how. He plays that Choctaw bingo every Friday night, you know, in Hadley, Texas. But he won't say why. He owns a quarter section up by Lake Eufaula.
Yeah, so this song, it's just so regional. It's like almost every lyric is some reference to something around North Texas or Oklahoma or Kansas. And it's, again, it's just, I love the story. It's really funny. I should have specified the version of this off the live album is even better to me because it's at a faster clip. It's more energetic. But the way he's just talking about, like, the cook and the meth, and it opens talking about giving the kids vodka and their cherry coke so they can go to sleep. There's a whole verse about incest. I mean, what else could you ask for? It's a good time, and it's a great song to listen to with your friends after you had a few drinks at night. And it's just funny. And yeah, I love James McMurtry, and this is one of his best songs.
Yeah, this song made me appreciate my own family even more, because the cast of characters on display here is so colorful and wild, and it would be an absolute nightmare to hang out with for me. So thank God I'm not related to any of these people, for sure. And I was looking this song up and trying to find some information about it, and there's an article that came out in 2009 on Slate that suggested making this the new national anthem because it represents what America actually is about. And it's hard to argue. Drugs, guns, McDonald's, gambling, incest. Like, this is what America is made of, folks. It's Uncle Slayton and the gang. So, this is not something I want to experience in real life, but a fun song regardless there, Paul.
Yeah, no, I'd be all for making this the national anthem.
Yeah. Well, okay. My next pick here, a little bit different than that there, Paul. This is by a singer-songwriter named Jenny Lewis. And this is from her 2019 album, On the Line. And this is a song called Little White Dove.
Was it a dream when you called me Kitten and Her Majesty? I'm your blood, I'm on my wall. The water from my eyes fell to the floor.
That's another song that has a nice swagger to it, a nice groove to it. It also has a really sad but also kind of hopeful backstory too, because it's inspired by Jenny Lewis visiting her dying mom in the hospital. But she talked about how writing that song helped her get through it in a lot of ways. So the power of music coming through once again there. But I'm a big Jenny Lewis fan. I loved her band Rilo Kiley that she was in. They broke up around, I think, a decade ago or so. And she also worked with the Postal Service, too, on their only album. So, not the biggest name to choose from, but still, I enjoy her work there, Paul.
Yeah, I'd never heard her before. This was a good song. I enjoyed it. I've never heard Rilo Kiley. I only know them because of Kyle O'Reilly. And I've always wondered if that was intentional, that he selected his name, or if that was just pure coincidence. Have you ever heard anything about that?
I don't know anything about that, but I've seen that joke made plenty of times before. So
yeah, I'm sure. this was good. I really like the chorus. I think in the middle of Love, I'm the Little White Dove. That's a really clever rhyme. I like that. And then that line, I'm the heroine. I assume that's a double meaning there, as in the female version of hero.
I believe so, because I think her mom was a heroin addict at one point.
I read that.
Yeah, and heroin, like a hero with an E at the end. So it's kind of a play on words there for sure. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and this is the first thing I heard from her, but definitely enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. She was also a child actress back in the 80s and 90s. She was in True Beverly Hills, The Wizard, Pleasantville. She was on a bunch of TV shows, Growing Pains, Mr. Belvedere, Golden Girls, Roseanne. She also was on a show called Life with Lucy, which was the last show to star Lucille Ball, which is amazing. Like, how many people nowadays can say, I was on a show with Lucille Ball? It's pretty pretty incredible there. So a nice feather in her cap for Miss Lewis, for sure. Okay, what is next there, Paul?
Okay, so I got another country song for you, and this is from a Canadian artist who, it's funny, I actually have there's actually a wrestling connection to this too, because I only heard about Coulter Wall through Brock Lesnar on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, because Austin asked him what kind of music he liked, and Brock said, I've been listening to a lot of Coulter Wall lately, and I was like, all right, I gotta hear this, and Brock Lesnar may be probably a really shitty human being, but seems like he has some good music taste, because I really enjoy Coulter Wall. I think he's a great songwriter, and this is one of my favorite songs by him. It's called Bald Butte.
Henry woke the next morning like a corpse from the grave. Half blind and twice as haggard, he took a cast iron to the brain. Stole his horse and the rifle that shared his name. And he tracked them former Johnny Rebs through the prairie and the trees, up old Castle Mountain, across the river YPT. Lo and behold, what do you think he sees? See my pain. See my rifle that shares my name.
Yeah, so this is another great great story song for me. It's about this this Canadian a cowboy, presumably, dealing with some runaway Confederates up in, I believe, Alberta, where they basically, you know, knock him out and rob him. And it's just, I love his lyrics are really, I don't know, just visceral and clever, like that those lines we just heard. Henry woke the next morn like a corpse from the grave, half blinded, twice as haggard. He took a cast iron to the brain. And later on, he says, now he's back up in the saddle, back up on the top, when he felt that southern slug chew a hole right through his gut. Just the way he describes things, I just find really fascinating, and just it's a there's just a grittiness that you don't hear in a lot of modern country that I really appreciate in his songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a proper goddamn country western song. I mean, this is, yeah, a cowboy hunting down the Confederate soldiers who stole his gun and horse, and then he dies at the end. Like, you cannot get more country western than that. Come on. But what interested me about this is that this song came out when Colter Wall was 21 years old.
Yeah.
Which is so surprising because, you know, a 21-year-old can have a voice that deep, amazing, but can also write a song with this much, you know, gravitas and heft and so visceral and gritty, like you said. Again, not much of a country fan myself, but still, it's all very impressive. And yeah, very, very cool song for sure. Okay, my next pick here, this is towards the end of the alphabet. The very end, because this guy's last name starts with a Z. Guy named Warren Zevon. And this is from his 1987 album, Sentimental Hygiene. And this is a fun little song. It's called Detox Mansion.
I'm gone to Detox Mansion, way down on Last Breath Farm. I've been raking leaves with Liza,
so if you only know Warren Zevon for Werewolves of London, fix that right away, because he has a lot of great stuff beyond that song. And it's all done in the same, you know, dry, acerbic style of his. And this song, it's a typical example of what he was great at. One, going, hey, in a song, or huh, or wah, you know, he was great at that stuff. And number two, which was turning his train wreck of a personal life into enjoyable music, because for a lot of years, Warren Zevon was an absolute mess. Big drinker, drugs, divorce, the whole nine yards. And he puts that stuff into his music. And this song is about, you know, getting clean and getting away from the spotlight. I'm gone to Detox Mansion, way down on Last Breath Farm. I'm raking leaves with Liza Minnelli, of course. Me and Liz clean up the yard. And that's a good thing, of course, getting sober, but he also misses the spotlight, and its dangerous allure. growing fond of Detox Mansion and this quiet life I lead, but I'm dying to tell my story for all my friends to read. So it's trying to, you know, balance those feelings. So, yeah, I don't condone the lifestyle, but as a song guy, I'm a big Warren Zevon fan for sure, Paul.
You know, literally, you know, I sent you over the songs that I wanted to talk about, and almost like a minute after I sent those over, I was kicking myself because I was like, oh my God, I forgot to put a Warren Zevon song on here. But so you really saved me because you picked one. one I actually haven't heard before, but it was, yeah, it was really good. And it's, yeah, it's like he's got a lot of songs dealing with drugs and addiction. My favorite song of his is related to that, Desperados Under the Eaves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a beautiful song. Also, Carmelita, mm-hmm. Both off a self-titled album, which I love. But yeah, this has, I love the lyrics in this when he's talking about, you know, he was riding in a limo and now he's doing his own laundry. When he's saying, it's tough to be somebody, it's hard to keep from falling apart. Just some pretty relatable stuff in this album, even if you're not a drug addict, I think. So yeah, just definitely, I think he's one of America's greatest songwriters.
Yeah, Johnny Strikes Up the Band, Lawyers, Guns, and Money, Excitable Boy.
Yeah.
Keep Me in Your Heart, which is a heartbreaking song at the mm-hmm. end of his life. Because, yeah, he died about 20 years ago, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
I know he died of cancer. And he was one of those guys, he never went to the doctor until it was too late. So, you mm-hmm. know, get those checkups, folks. Yeah.
This was someone who, as he was dying of cancer, wrote a song called My Shit's Fucked Up.
Yep. Yeah, and David Letterman was a huge fan of his, and when Warren announced that he had terminal cancer, Letterman dedicated an entire show just to him. He was the only guest, so it gave him that moment, which was really nice. And his famous saying, his words of advice was, enjoy every sandwich. So if you take anything away from this episode there, folks, please enjoy every sandwich. For sure there. So
yeah, I definitely recommend going on YouTube and just looking up. They have whole compilations of Zevon on David Letterman because he was a frequent guest. Mm-hmm. It's a good watch.
Yeah.
But my next song I was gonna pick is I had to get a Tom Waits song up on there because I think he's again another one of the greatest songwriters and one of my favorite singers. And this, I think, is one of his best songs. It's called Small Change, Got Rained On with His Own 38.
Small change got rained on with his own 38. Nobody flinched down by the arcade. And the marquees weren't weeping, they went stark raving mad. And the cabbies were the only ones that really had it made. And his cold trousers were twisted, and the siren's high shrill. And crumpled in his fist was a $5 bill. And the naked mannequins with their Cheshire grins, and the raconteurs and roustabouts said, buddy, come on in, cause the dreams ain't broken down here. Nah, they're walking with a limp. Now that small change got rained on with his own 38. And nobody flinched down by the arcade. And the burglar alarm's been disconnected. And a newsman starts to rattle.
Yeah, so Tom Waits is just one of my favorite songwriters because he has a way of writing that nobody does. I mean, where do you even come up with a line like small change got rained on with his own 38? And there's so many good lines, it's quotable lines. That's one of my favorite lyrics of all time is we just heard, cause the dreams ain't broken down here now. They're walking with a limp.
A limp, yep.
Yeah. And it's just a cool song. And Tom Waits, I love his voice, his singing style. You know, to quote an artist we just talked about a few minutes ago, David Berman, all my favorite singers couldn't sing, and Tom Waits certainly fits that category for me.
Yeah, if I had never heard of Tom Waits before, and you played me this song, I would have assumed it was just some drunk homeless guy who wandered into the studio and just started rambling over a saxophone. I mean, all due respect to the guy, he's a legend. I love Old 55, but he's not a conventional fellow at all. He's a street poet, mm-hmm. and he gets very experimental a lot of times. Sings about the nightlife, sings about criminals, the underground. He paints a very descriptive picture, and he's a hell of a lyricist, but his stuff is not typically my thing, at least what I've heard. So, yeah, there's no mistaking that voice at all. He's got one of the most unique voices in music, to put it nicely. Again, very unconventional, but if you listen to his early stuff, he sounds fine, but as the 70s go on, you know, the more gravelly his voice gets, and by the 80s, he is, you know, fully the Tom Waits as we know him to be there, Paul, so.
Yeah, the whiskey and cigarettes definitely did their damage, but to me, it just adds to his music. He's just constantly evolving, and he just, I don't know, I think he makes it work for himself, but it's definitely not everyone's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Or cup of booze, as in this case.
Right.
With this, yeah, but... Okay, well, I'm going to inject some nice harmonies and melodies back into this thing here. my next pick here, this is an artist, I believe her name is pronounced Elizabeth Morris, M-A-U-R-U-S, but her stage name is Lissie, L-I-S-S-I-E, and this is a version of her song that was featured in Twin Peaks Season 3. There's David Lynch again, Twin Peaks The Return. And she actually performs this song in one of the episodes. So let's hear Lissie with Wild West Roadhouse Mix. So I've only listened to a couple of Lizzie's albums, but what I've heard I've liked, and I love this song, and I especially love this version of it. To be honest, it's one of my favorite songs currently. And to give some backstory here, in Twin Peaks The Return, there are a bunch of scenes at the Roadhouse, which is the bar in town, and each episode there's a music performance there. So you've got like Nine Inch Nails, Eddie Vedder, Chromatics, whole bunch of bands that, you know, David Lynch picked to be on the show. And one of the people he picked was Lissie. And, you know, she does this song. And then reading up on it, someone on Reddit had asked her after a show about being on Twin Peaks. And she said David Lynch was a big fan of hers. And he invited her on. And he let her pick the song to play on the show. And she picked this one because it has, like, an air of mystery about it. And she thought that would line up with, you know, Twin Peaks and David Lynch's whole vibe, which is pretty spot on because it does have that air mystery about it. And if you watch the show and you know the plot of it, it also fits the plot of the show as well, too. So, yeah, great song. I love the chorus. I've been living life on the edge. Slip and fall if I take one more step. There's safety in numbers, I guess, but I'm going rogue in the wild, wild west. Just real good stuff there. And yeah, you know, I picked this song basically because it's one of my favorites. And I also love Twin Peaks a lot, too. So there you go, Paul.
you're preaching to the choir, brother. I'm also a huge Twin Peaks fan. I think The Return is arguably the greatest work of art to come out in the 2010s. I do have one minor correction. Nine Inch Nails was not playing at the
Roadhouse.
You're
right. I'm sorry. It was the Nine Inch Nails. My mistake.
Correct.
The Nine Inch Nails. My mistake.
No worries. But yeah, this is the first time I'd heard this since the show. I'd kind of forgotten it, but you're right. It's an amazing song. Just like you said, the chorus. I love the lyrics, the lines in the chorus. Just they're just badass. I don't know. It's a song that gets you hyped up. I love the heavy drums in the background. I love her, and her voice is just so powerful. The way she can hold out those notes. Yeah, it's just a really invigorating song. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually the second Twin Peaks connection of the show because Chris Isaak was in Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah.
So there you go. We got David Lynch everywhere. Hello. Yes. I'm doing the hand wiggle. You got to do the hand wiggle if you're doing David Lynch. All right, Paul, what is your last pick of the day for us?
Okay, so my last pick comes from Fiona Apple, another one of my favorite songwriters, and someone who I'd known her before and liked her, but I really fell for her music right as the pandemic was coming down, because it was that was when her newest album came out, Fetch the Bolt Cutters. And this isn't the first song on that album, but it's the first song I heard on that album. It's called Heavy Balloon.
People like us, we play with a heavy balloon. We keep it up to keep the devil at bay, but it always falls way too soon. Like us, we play with a heavy balloon. We keep it up to keep the devil at bay, but it always falls way too soon. People like us, we play with a heavy balloon. We keep it up to keep the devil at bay, but it always falls way too soon. I spread like strawberries, I climb like peas and beans. I've been sucking it in so long, busting at the seams. I spread like strawberries, I climb like peas and beans. I've been sucking it in so long that I'm busting at the seams. In the middle of the day, it's like the sun, but there's a hair on.
So something that I think Fiona's amazing at is singing with anger, with fury or hatred, especially, and this comes out in this song. You know, she's singing about produce, essentially. You know, I spread like strawberries, I climb like peas and beans, I've been sucking it in so long that I'm bursting at the seams. And she sounds like she's bursting at the seams. And there's just such this righteous fury to the way she sings that I'm like ready to fight. I'm ready to get in a fist fight when I hear this song, because it's so just powerful to me. And yeah, I just love it.
Yeah, if you know your Fiona Apple, you know she's not afraid to speak her mind or show emotions. Like, that's her way. But yeah, it's funny. I always seem to forget about Fiona Apple. Not that I don't like her, but I'll go like months or even years not thinking about her. And then I'll see her name and be like, oh yeah, Fiona Apple. And then I'll listen to this song and be like, oh yeah, this is really good. And I think a big part of that is just how sporadically she puts out new music. Mm-hmm. Like, her debut was in 96, and since then she's put out only 4 albums. And I know she's had some personal issues too, but still her catalog is not as big as, say, Alanis Morissette or someone like that, you know? But if you look up her albums, they're all critically acclaimed, award-winning, award-nominated, so her batting average is still really high, Paul.
Yeah, and this came out, you know, we're close to 5 years at this point. And yeah, I think there was about nearly a decade in between Fetch the Bolt Cutters and her album before this. So I'd like to get a new album soon, but you know, if her next album is as good as this one, I don't mind waiting.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad you picked an album title that is not 30 words long. You know, 4 words, nice and simple. It's not a poem, so I appreciate that at least. So yeah, but good last song there for sure. But
yep.
Okay, my last pick here. This is a classic 70s singer-songwriter, one of music's great mustaches. It's Mr. Jim Croce. And this is from 1972. The album is You Don't Mess Around With Jim. And this song is a lovely song. It's called Operator. That's Not the Way I Feel.
Operator, but could you help me place this call?
Yeah, that song is just timeless, man. I mean, even nowadays, like, I can't imagine many people are calling operators or using payphones, if they can find one, even. But the emotion is universal, and it cuts through all of that stuff. And the best singer-songwriters can do that. They can be timeless and universal and write those kind of songs and have that touching voice as well. And when I think of the stereotypical early 70s singer-songwriter, I think of a white guy with facial hair, acoustic guitar, gentle voice, emotional story-driven songs about love or heartache. And that's Jim Croce. He checks all the boxes. So I had to pick him, Paul. I had to.
Yeah, it was a real downer of a last song for the show. But yeah, it's great. I think I've heard the song before, but this is the first time I've really sat down and listened to it. And yeah, really hit me, as you said. Super relatable, connecting song. I love how he sings about, you know, wanting to show that you're fine and that you can take this, you know, presumably this heartbreak. I love the qualifications he has on this guy. His best old ex friend Ray that she's left with, and how he's talking about, you know, how he wishes he could convince himself that it just wasn't real. You know, I think, like you said, yeah, this is a song that I think, you know, everyone can relate to.
Mm-hmm. And he's another guy gone too soon. Died in a plane crash at 30, the year after this came out. And the craziest thing is he broke through in like the blink of an eye. He put out this album and then the next album, Life and Times, and then I Got a Name within a span of 2 years. And that includes Operator. It includes Don't Mess Around with Jim, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, Time in a Bottle, I Got a Name. All these iconic songs came out in 72, 73, in some cases after he died. So the fact that he managed to, you know, carve out this legacy in such a small amount of time is pretty remarkable there, Paul.
Yeah, I was not familiar with his backstory. Yeah, that's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, on that downer of an ending, that was our list of songs there. Paul, thanks so much, man. This was great. Your first time on. A lot of great stuff, a lot of classic stuff, but also stuff I never heard before. So thanks for being here, man. This was great.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I had a good time.
Yeah, of course. Any plugs you want to give, go right ahead.
Yeah, sure. So you can follow me on Twitter at Paul E. Wedding. I also have a Substack blog that's Paul Wedding Fujiwara Gumi, pwfg.substack.com, where I write about some of the wrestling I watch. And also you can go to WFAA.com. That's the news station I work at. And you can just type in AEW or just wrestler. I'm sure you'll find plenty of the stuff I wrote. Recently I wrote about most recent work was a historical deep dive into two of the stadium shows put on by World Class Championship Wrestling. I don't know if you know this, Andrew. I didn't know this until I looked into it. This upcoming All in Texas show is not the first wrestling show to be held at a baseball stadium in Arlington. There are actually two in the 60s, headlined by Fritz Von Erich and Gene Kaniski. So a lot of interesting details that I wrote about there, so you can find it at WFA.
All right, well, Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, that's where we are. VoicesOfWrestling.com for all of the episodes and shows and reviews, previews, all that good stuff. We're on Twitter at Music of the Mat. We're also on Blue Sky. A lot of people go on there now. We are Music of the Mat on Blue Sky. And I am Just Andrew on Blue Sky. That's J-U-S-T Andrew on there. If you want to follow me there too, that's great. I might post things. I might not. I don't know. I forgot about that website for a full year. So we'll see what happens, okay? If you want to leave a comment about this episode or share your picks, voicesofwrestling.com/discord. I'm in there. Paul, you're in there as well, of course.
Yep.
And yeah, make sure you subscribe on Apple, Spotify, your podcast player of choice. Leave a nice rating and review, please, and thank you. Okay, our playout song for this episode here, and it's funny. You mentioned earlier, Paul, your regret at not picking Bob Dylan. Well, here comes your old pal Andrew to save the day because I picked a Bob Dylan song for the playout here.
Oh, great.
Because I figured, you know, look, he's the most prolific singer-songwriter ever.
Yeah.
And somehow we missed picking him and his 8 million songs. So, yeah, maybe a little too obvious, perhaps. I don't know. But, hey, let's go out with some love for Bobby D. And this is a song from 1970. It's off of his album New Morning. And this is the title track, New Morning. Thanks again, Paul.
Thank you.
Can't you hear that motor turning? Automobile coming into style. Coming down the road for a country mile. So happy just to see you smile underneath the sky blue on this new morning. New morning on this new morning with you. Passed away so quickly. It always does when you're with me.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.